it is a wonderful Sunday in the almost middle of July, and our air conditioners are running wonderfully now. And like some of you commented, we have survived the onslaught of children and grandchildren. It was so good to see the headlights come and so good to see the taillights go. And they ate us out of house and home, but that's okay. It enables us to buy new food to feast upon. So we have a few announcements together as church. This Wednesday, we are beginning our Midsummer Nights, and we're going to have a great time together. Come, and we have programs for the young folk. We have programs for, some discussions for the adults. And, of course, choir, it will be available Wednesday night for rehearsals. And, James, if anybody feels so led, do you take new volunteers up there?
Anytime.
And do they need to know how to read music? No. Okay. So those of you who just want to make a joyful racket afore the Lord, this is your opportunity for the summer. The director of music search team is hard at work, and they are listed there for you. So if you have anybody you might want to suggest, or if you wish to nominate yourself, if your taste in entertainment runs that direction, go right ahead. And of course, finally, the knitting group is up and going. And I think I told you last week we had a group in Rockmart called the Knitwits. But come and people with all skill levels, I guess all you need is a set of knitting needles. So come and needle everybody around you. Sorry. You can tell I'm glad the kids are gone. Any other announcements in our life together as church? Then come and let us pass the peace of Jesus Christ amongst ourselves.
Please stand for the call to worship. Like Jacob and Esau, we are prone to struggle. Like Isaac and Rebekah, we try to seek peace. Let us find in God our true relations. Let us seek to know His will.
Let us worship God.
And let us pray. You have given us a mighty birthright, O Lord, a gift beyond measure. Teach us to seek it in our days and to preserve it by your grace. May the fields of our labor yield rich harvest by your power, and may the fruits of our devotion glorify your name. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. In the heat of the moment, dear God, we think only of ourselves and our needs. We forget the call you have given us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the diseased, and care for the foreigner in our midst. We are often like seed which has fallen on barren ground. Enrich us, we pray, with your nourishing grace, that we may develop into the full potential of your kingdom for the sake of all you love. Amen. Good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Well, we don't have any children that like to come down here, but I have a good children's sermon, and I'm not going to waste it. Someone gave me this marvelous book, Trout of the World, and that may seem kind of esoteric to some of you, but to me, it is a wonderful book because it has in it all the different trout that can be found everywhere, and they are indeed beautiful fish, and I was going to show that, but you can come up and look at the book if you want to, even during the sermon if it so strikes your fancy. One of my favorite things to do is trout fishing. I don't get to do as much of it as I used to, but trout fishing takes you to some of the most beautiful places in the world, and the goal of trout fishing, unlike bass fishing, is not ichthyside. You're not out to kill as many fish as you possibly can. In fact, most trout fishermen consider it a good day if you catch one or two. And you're not so much distracted by the trout as you are by the beauty and the coolness of the stream or the river or wherever you might be. One of my tasks that I am undertaking right now at our house is we have two ponds, and one of them, the smaller, which we call Lock In, after my youngest son. I'm currently converting and aerating so that it might be a hatchery for trout. And then when they get to a certain size, we will place them in the larger pond called Loch Mac, after my oldest son. And there they will provide entertainment and perhaps even a little nutrition if all things work out. We have constructed a small stream which runs for about, 60 feet or so and aerates Loch Inn. The thing I love about trout is they are all different. They are all beautiful. And this book shows me how varied they are, just like all of God's children everywhere are different and all are beautiful. And I'm not planning on eating any of God's children anytime soon, but I thought this would be a marvelous, marvelous illustration for the children to see the beauty of God's creation. And perhaps, who knows, someday to come over and enjoy our pond, our stream, and our larger pond where the fish may rise and play and even on occasion get a little nibble of the hook. God's blessings.
We prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Listen for God's word. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will also water your camels." So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said, to the servant, "Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Our second scripture this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 7. Listen for God's word. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I sang that very anthem when I was much younger and in a much better choir than I had ever sung in. And so I was singing right along with the basses there. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done throughout this earthly frame." I haven't been in voice for a long time and still am not. Oh, and thank you, Laura, for wherever she went. Where did Laura go? Oh, she's sneaking back. Laura got all those difficult names just right when she was reading the Old Testament lesson, and that for you equals a gold star and a soft seat in heaven. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 11th chapter, verses 16 through 19, and then 25 through 30. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. But to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they said he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word and for your love and for your grace, which transcends all times and all places and calls us to unity with you and with each other. So help us to hear the word which you have for us this day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I love that passage from Genesis for today, where Abraham's servant is off trying to find a good wife for Isaac. You know, Isaac is the son of the promise. Isaac is the only child really given to Abraham and Sarah together. He is the promise upon which God lays the expectation of myriad of offspring, land, and God's presence. And so what does Abraham do? He employs the first dating app. He sends a servant back to his home country looking for a wife. Now, if there ever was looking for a needle in a haystack, this is it. And the servant says unto himself, I'm going to set some criteria for knowing God's will in this matter of finding my master a wife. Have you ever set criteria for knowing God's will? Yes, we all have. Lord, if you want me to do this, here is the sign I want from you. When I was much younger, I told God, if you want me to love my little sister, I want $10,000 in small currency bills on my desk in the morning. That was back when $10,000 would really go somewhere, too. Never got that $10,000, but I did come to love my sister, though it was a long and arduous journey. But glad to say now we are the best of friends, and she lives a respectable 15 miles away. Close enough to come in an emergency, but too far away to come and cut my grass. The servant gives God parameters within which God is to work. Most of us of Reformed heritage would say That is so blasphemous. But back in the day, it probably was not at all that uncommon. Lord, the woman whom you want to be my master's wife will come, and I will ask her to give me a drink, and she will say, here you are, and I'm going to water your camels too. When I heard that passage being read today, my mind went back to my childhood. You know, most of us know classical music by virtue of the cartoons we watched when we were younger. Yeah. And my mind went to the Light Cavalry Overture. I've forgotten the composer. But you had, what was the guy that always had the 2 6 guns? Yosemite Sam. And he is riding horses, and then he's riding camels, and the music is going on, and he keeps calling the camels his mules. Only Yosemite Sam can do that. That's an aside you don't need to worry about. That will not be on the test. So he's there with all his camels, and sure enough, Rebecca comes and gives him a drink and waters his camels, and he goes and he negotiates with her father, and she says, yes, I want to go. And they make their way back home, and she sees miraculously Isaac, who has suddenly appeared, coming across the field to meet her. And at this point, the camera goes into slow motion as they move toward each other. And there's lovely music playing in the background. And they are married, and they live quasi-happily ever after. The first dating app actually worked out. And so we're all happy, and we're thinking God is good. And then we go to our Romans passage for today, and we are suddenly yanked back into human nature. Suddenly the blue skies and the soaring bluebirds and someone singing somewhere over the rainbow disappears, and we're back into the darkness of ourselves. Paul gives a statement that we are in this eternal struggle with our human nature. We're in this eternal struggle with doing what we want to do, which is evil, and what God wants us to do, which is good. And in the medieval woodcuts, you would see people there with an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, trying to decide which one they were going to follow. And if you were like me, you first saw that little angel and that little devil in cartoons, as people, usually Bugs Bunny, was trying to decide which course to take. Paul says, the good I would do, I do not, and the evil I would not do, I do. O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin? Christ Jesus, our Lord. One of the gospel truths that we hold as people of the Reformation is that God can take the evil we do, the evil we don't want to do, but do anyway, and God, by grace, can transform even that evil into something good. Joseph in Egypt, standing by the grave of his father, and the brothers gathered around wondering, what is Joseph going to do with them now? And they ask him, what would you do with us now that our father is dead? And Joseph responds, that which you meant for evil, the Lord turned around for good. That is Old Testament gospel, and it is still true today. There is no evil that we can commit that is beyond God's ability to transform. And I have seen it happen over and over again. People who suffer addictions are healed. and go forth and help others recover from their addictions. Is it a perfect program? No. But it sure is wonderful. People who have suffered from cancer and are healed go into the hospitals and become support groups for people who are suffering from the ravages of that terrible disease. People who have suffered unspeakable tragedies like the loss of a child go out and support others who are going through the same thing. What this tells us is that human life is hard. Human life is full of things we don't want. And yet the grace of God brings us together, and God transforms our suffering into miracles. It's a powerful lesson of God's presence in the world. And it gives me hope for the wider range of humanity, even those who don't understand what's going on, and perhaps most especially for those who don't understand what's going on in the activity of God's kingdom. Jesus, in our gospel lesson, addresses people like that. He says, you know, I can't keep you happy. We played wedding and you wouldn't dance. We played funeral and you wouldn't mourn. John came along eating bugs and wearing a hairy coat, preaching the word of God, and you said he has a demon. I come along, I eat, I drink, I have a good time, I party with the best of them. You say I'm a glutton and a drunkard, and I sit at table with tax collectors and sinners. Let me tell you something, Jesus says. That zany son of Zechariah and Elizabeth and I have more in common than you think, because the two extremes are here to show you that God's kingdom embraces all. You know, sometimes we figure we got God kind of figured out. I've had people like that. I've had grandparents like that. God wants you to do this, that, and the other. How do you know that? Don't ask questions. You ever had those kind of people? The kind of people put bumper stickers on the back of their cars. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God is reduced to black and white, put in a box, stored up in the closet until they can trot God out again with their leisure. God refuses to be contained in our theologies, no matter how advanced they may be. God refuses to be encased in our religion, no matter how beautiful it might seem. God is a God who transcends all and calls us to live in his grace and his glory. And just as there are so many trout in the world, so there are so many people, and God loves us all. And God is available to all. And God speaks to all, even those who won't dance at weddings and those who won't mourn at funerals. Even those who think they've got all figured out, God's grace extends to each and every one of us. As I said, I love that Old Testament lesson. The first dating app, Abraham sends a servant out. Excuse me. Abraham sends a servant out to find a wife for Isaac. That is a fitting image of God the Father sending the Son out call each and every one of us home. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we are all called home by this servant of God, God's own Son, calling us to be in relationship with our Creator God and all of His creations. Let us pray. O God, our Father, help us to keep from making generalizations about one another. Rather, help us to appreciate that there is more that binds us together than there is that pulls us apart. Help us to hear the voice of your Son who calls us to come home and to be in the family you have created. And teach us, O Lord, to sing at weddings, to mourn at funerals, and to live our lives as gifts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Nope, I'm sorry. Stand up again. I get confused easily. Let us declare what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Eternal God, we stand in a world that is so confused, so baffling and confusing. We stand and watch the events of history unfold before our eyes. Lord, keep us from despairing. Lord, in your mercy. We stand next to each other, O Lord, knowing that you are active in every breath of life, that you are present in the beating of every heart. And we pray, O Lord, that you will bring your peace to those standing next to us and around about us, Lord, in your mercy. You have appointed us to be the ambassadors of your gospel. Send us out, we pray, that we may heal troubled spirits, that we may touch difficult times, that we may bring hope in times of despair, joy in times of sorrow, that we may be those who help in the recreation of your world, one soul at a time, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you know the leaders of our world. You know their hearts. Be with them and guide their wisdom as we seek a world of peace where warfare is no more, where hatred is expelled, where brother and sister shall not raise up hand against each other. Speak to the leaders of our world and give them your vision of what can be. Lord, in your mercy. And send us, Lord, as those who have the commission of heaven, those who have been authorized, delegated, and designated to be the bearers of the gospel. Remind us of that awesome responsibility wherever we go, so that we may honor the name of him who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive that which you first entrusted to us, and we consecrate it to the glory of your kingdom. Multiply these gifts by your grace, that your kingdom may be expanded, and strengthen our hearts in the giving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I saw some of you swaying. Presbyterian swaying, Lord, anytime. All right. So go forth and live so God can use you. You have already been found on that dating app that God has given us. And he's called you and he's called me to be about the tasks of the kingdom. No matter who or what we encounter, God's love redeems it all. In the name of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit which is sufficient for us all. Amen.